Question is passed amendment be engrossed pending which Mr. Lyons of Andover offers an amendment in the hands of the clerk. Clerk will read the amendment.
Amendment number 137. Representative Lyons of Andover and other members of the House move to amend the bill by inserting at the end the following section. Section 276 of general laws is hereby amended by inserting after section
28. If there be no objection, the clerk will dispense with reading the paper. Mr. Mariano of Quincy questions the matter that is beyond the scope.
Is it here?
It's right here. He says, questions the matter is beyond the scope. The chair will rule that the matter, as of yesterday, the matter is beyond the scope. The amendment will be laid aside. Mr. Callahan of Mr. Cahill of Lynn. Office of Amendment, hands of the clerk. Clerk will read the amendment.
Amendment number 29. Representative Cahill of Lynn moves to amend the bill by adding the following section. Notwithstanding any special
there be no objection, the clerk will dispense with the reading of the paper. Chair has none. Question on the amendment. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed nay. The ayes have it. The amendment is adopted.
This is Mr. Crichton.
Mr. Crichton Lynn, Office of Amendment in the hands of the clerk. Clerk will read the amendment.
Amendment number 33. Mr. Crichton of Lynn moves to amend the bill in section 22 in line 355 by inserting after the word misdemeanor the following, except for offenses in subsection A of section 53 of chapter 72.
If there be no objection, the question is on the amendment. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The amendment is adopted. Mr. Cullinane, Boston, office and amendment in the hands of the clerk. Clerk will read the amendment.
Amendment number 35. Mr. Cullinane of Boston moves to amend the bill by adding the following section. Section 18, 3/4 of Chapter 6A of the General Laws is appearing in the 2016
edition. If there be no objection, the clerk will dispense with the reading of the paper. Chair has none. Question on the amendment. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The amendment is adopted. Yeah, we're going to wait. Mr. Naughton of Clinton, offers an amendment, hands of the clerk. Clerk, read the amendment.
Amendment number 190. Mr. Naughton of Clinton moves to amend the bill by adding the following section. Section 172A of Chapter 6 of the General Laws appearing in 2016 official edition hereby amended by inserting after the figure 18031I. In line 9, the words, or veterans organizations requesting information relative to employees, volunteers, and veterans that such organizations shall provide housing for.
Question on the amendment. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The amendment is adopted. House will be in a recess. Mr. Vega of Holyoke offers an amendment in the hands of the clerk. Clerk, read the amendment.
Amendment number 138, Representatives Vega of Holyoke and other members of the House. Move to amend the bill by adding the following section. Section 34A of Chapter 268 of the General Laws is appearing in the 2012 official edition hereby amended.
If there be no objection, the clerk will dispense with the reading of the paper. Chair hears none. Question is now on the amendment. Chair recognizes Mr. Vega of Holyoke. As the gentleman approaches the microphone, the chair will ask the members to please take their seats and subdue their conversation. Chair recognizes Mr. Vega of Holyoke.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and through you to the members, I rise in support of this amendment and thank the leadership for supporting this amendment. This idea was actually brought to me by my police department, and the Retail Housing Authority Coalition, the renters, the Landlord Association, sorry. This amendment, I think, satisfies both sides of the debate, if you will. On one side, it makes someone who gives a false address illegal at the time of their arrest. It's currently illegal to give a false name and a false social security number. This loophole is closed, and the same infraction fine will be applied to giving a false address. On the other side of the debate, if you will, for the reform and the advocacy group, what actually happens with this is that an individual who's arrested and gives a false address, it's often that person's girlfriend, boyfriend, sister, mother, who often, too often, may be on a Section 8 voucher at that home or some kind of subsidized housing. When it's found out that someone who's been arrested and has criminal activity living at that apartment, that individual is actually in jeopardy of losing their voucher and losing their supported housing. So even though that individual doesn't live there, they've given that false address, the big ramifications can be to that person's family and the people who actually live at that address. So this close up a loophole, I think, satisfies us to be both tough on crime, but making sure that people who are not victims and make sure people who actually are not responsible for these crimes are not prosecuted or found in trouble. So I appreciate the support, and I know my police department and many of your police departments will support this as well. So again, thank you very much.
Question is on the amendment. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The amendment is adopted. House will be in a recess. Question is passed on bill to be engrossed, pending which Mr. Jones of North Reading offers an amendment in the hands of the clerk. Clerk will read the amendment.
Amendment number 53. Representative Jones of North Reading and other members of the House move to amend the bill by adding after section 63 the following sections.
If there be no objection, the clerk will dispense with the reading of the paper. Chair has no objection. The chair recognizes Mr. Mariano Quincy. Mr. Mariano moves that the matter is beyond the scope of the bill. In answer to the point of order, the chair will state that the subject matter of the amendment offered by the gentleman from North Reading introduces a subject of wiretaps, which is a new topic that is not contained in either the House or the Senate versions of the bill currently before the House. Nor was the subject of wiretaps contained in any of the petitions that made up the basis of the report from the Committee on the Judiciary. Offering such new subject matter in the form of an amendment from the floor of the House is thereby bypassing the deliberate steps required under our rules for passage of a bill and would violate the essence of the legislative process. The chair is therefore compelled to rule that the amendment is beyond the scope of the measure before the House and will be laid aside accordingly. Chair recognizes Mr. Jones of North Reading.
Second.
Gentleman doubts the ruling of the chair. Question is, shall the decision of the chair stand? All those in favor say aye. All those opposed? Chair recognizes Mr. Yeah, it'd be nice to have you. Chair recognizes Mr. Jones. Yes, Chair recognizes Mr. Jones of North Reading.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm so glad you could join us today. I regret that you were compelled to set aside, and I know you must feel very strongly because you used the word compelled, but it's somewhat amazing to me that we're talking about an omnibus criminal justice bill, and we can't even have a debate on updating the wiretap statute, regardless of where you may want to come out on that issue. The idea that we can't have a debate about that on an aspect of the law that hasn't been changed since 1968, nearly 50 years. And the amendment that I offered was the one that was filed by the governor with the support of the attorney general. And I'll say the support, at least for the idea that the wiretap statute should be updated, by Justice Gantz. So sort of everybody that was involved, or many of the people that were involved in the other bill we did, the so-called CSG bill, agreed that we should be updating the wiretap statute. And why that shouldn't be done in conjunction with comprehensive criminal justice reform legislation is mind-boggling. So that's why I've doubted the ruling of the chair and think that it is perfectly appropriate to at least engage in that debate. It's not a new issue. It's been kicking around for the last couple of years. There's been hearings. There's been hearings on the legislation. It's something new being new introduced here on the floor. So why this can't be put before the body, quite frankly, is beyond me, Mr. Speaker. I would hope that the ruling of the chair is not sustained. I would ask that when a vote is taken on this matter, be taken by a call of the yeas and nays.
Mr. Jones moves when the matter be taken by a call of the yeas and nays. Those joining with them will rise. The monitors will return the count. First division, 0. Second division, 22. Sufficient number having arisen when the matter is taken to be taken by a call of the yeas. Question before the House is, shall the ruling of the chair be sustained? Roll call having been ordered, the roll call machine is now open. Under Rule 49, court officers will vote for Representative Michelli of Wilmington. Clerk will make an announcement.
The voting station of Representative Benson of Lunenburg is locked.
Have all members voted for us to do so? Have all members voted? Have all members voted? Time for voting has expired. The clerk will display the tally. On this matter, 123 members vote in the affirmative, 34 in the negative. The ruling of the chair is sustained. And the amendment is laid aside.